Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, leading up to the game this weekend as Oregon will take on USC, we are joined by our friend Tyson Alger, as we always are on Wednesdays at 10:30. Tyson, good morning to you. How was your extended weekend? You didn't have to cover a game on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, I spent my Saturday doing something completely different. I went to Providence Park and watched a football game. My Montana Grizzlies were in town, and it was fun to watch football in the city. It was nice to have to not go out to Hillsboro to watch the Vikings play as well.
Now, is there a tailgate scene outside of Providence Park? Because we as Timbers fans know there really isn't, but there's tons of bars everywhere. Can you create a college football tailgating scene outside Providence?
It's a little tough. I think the bars got a fair amount of business, but they kind of had like a makeshift tailgate thing set up within the stadium. So it was fun. You know, it wasn't packed. I think there was maybe like 6,500, 7,000 or so people there. There was a lot of Montana fans. Grizz have a big game coming up this week. If you guys want to dive into that, but
should have been game day. Should have been game day, dude.
Should have been game day. Should have been. It's too cold for them out there.
Yeah, McAfee don't like his shirt off when it's that cold.
I was just going to say, I'm hoping they keep their shirts on this Saturday this time. So
let's put a little bit of bow on the Minnesota game from Friday. Ducks win 42-13. Not a whole lot to take from it, I guess, but I'm still curious any of your thoughts on it. It was nice to see Kenyon Sadiq come back healthy and have a monster game, and how important he can be to that offense. Maybe I'll ask you, without DeCorian Moore and Gary Bryant Jr., like, what did you see from that wide receiver core on Minnesota? Is it a way of like, we played Minnesota and got away with it, or hey, this depth is really coming in handy?
I think you're seeing the depth is coming in pretty handy. I mean, you know, one of those guys is relatively experienced in Malik Benson, and you know, his past career at Florida State and Alabama before that. But, you know, that toe tapping touchdown that Jeremiah McClellan had, you're not doing that if you're not talented. I mean, it was a great throw from Dante, but just some of the kind of the talent that you see there in the depth. I mean, this is a team that's been recruiting really well at the position for the last 3 or 4 years under, Dan Lanning, but I think we've gotten so enamored with the transfer portal that you kind of forget about kind of the four-star guys that are on the roster. And I know the Ducks are pretty depleted at the position with some of those injuries, but it was just nice to see some of those guys have the opportunity to step up. And then what a difference it makes when you have a healthy Kenyon Sadiq in the lineup too. I know Dante was kind of saying he overthrew that one a little bit. He said the visor was affecting his depth perception. You know, a 27 to 30 day, I guess it was really, really hurting them. But it was just funny to see Sadiq make that diving catch, because that's kind of what hurt him a few weeks back, was just kind of coming down hard on his hip from one of those. And so to see Kenyon make that catch and then afterwards say, like, that's the best I've felt in a very long time, that's a really good sign for the Ducks.
Tyson, all right. Harris and I were talking about this before we had you on. As kind of a preview for USC Oregon. USC and Oregon only have two common opponents, Northwestern and Iowa. They were played very differently, but the outcomes ended up being nearly identical. One score game between USC and Iowa down in LA, handling Northwestern. I mean, both scores are relatively similar, with USC scoring a little bit more but giving up a little bit more. Oregon not scoring quite as much, but holding those teams down a little bit more. When you look at those, because there's so few strings to kind of pull on and look at the comparisons between these two teams, because they don't have those common opponents because of the way the scheduling is. When you look at those games, is there anything that you take from them and those common opponents and go, this is a little bit interesting, or does it not matter at all?
Well, what I remember about that USC-Northwestern game is that was quite the game until basically that pick six was called back in the second quarter, and that kind of swung all the momentum going into halftime. I might have the exact timing of that wrong, but I was sitting at my hotel bar in Iowa the night before the Hawkeyes Ducks game and watching that, and, you know, Twitter for that hot minute was like, oh, the Trojans are in trouble here. And so ultimately they played a pretty strong second half, and that ended up being a pretty convincing win. But I just think that what Oregon does with its defensive consistency just throughout the season, maybe save the Indiana game or so, has just been so impressive. And I think that's just been a little bit more consistent than what you've seen throughout the year with USC. I think USC is kind of very boom or bust, especially with its offense. I mean, like, they can put up a ton of points, but they can also give up a lot of yards too. So they've both beat some decent teams, but like this is kind of their Super Bowl of the seasons. And so, like, this is, I was talking to a couple people yesterday, and it's, I can't remember the last time being 10 games into a season and still like wondering like how good this Oregon team is, because it's just kind of one of those years where they pass some tests and then you just find out later that that test wasn't all that hard. So it's an odd one.
He's Tyson Alger, joins us every single Wednesday. The I-5 corridor, Lookout Eugene Springfield, is where you can find his stuff at. Something that I noticed that during the Minnesota game that wasn't really talked a whole lot about on the broadcast, but I'm curious how it looks future-wise and if it was for a reason. You saw some offensive lines swapping around, that maybe if they felt a little weaker on the right side, move some guys around and sacrifice maybe on a left, but have a more solid front five right there. Is that something that you think was more curated for the Minnesota game, or is that looking ahead to USC, who does have some nice guys on their defensive line?
I think it's a little bit of both. Like, they're trying to be a little bit more flexible on the line, and they've also been dealing with some injuries too. You know, Harkey missed the Iowa game. He came back for this one, but then it was Janoris Wilson who played so well instead of Harkey in Iowa. And then he missed this one too. So I think it's, you know, a little bit of showing some different looks, a little bit of just kind of getting guys snaps at different positions too. Just as you get into this late in the year and guys are banged up, you're going to need people to be able to play multiple. And so I think the Ducks are just showing their depth there. But it was really impressive just the way, not only that they kept Dante upright in that game, but just week in and week out, they're so good in their run blocking too. Like, I know the Ducks only had 197 yards in this game, which was yet another game where the Ducks bested their opponent in rushing yards. But it's just some of the timely yards that they get, and then just the way that these Oregon running backs rush too. We've talked about Jordan Davidson so much this year, but I'm still watching replays of that Noah Whittington run and wondering how he got out of those seven tackles there.
He's Tyson Alger. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll chat a little more about USC. I'm going to ask you the department that the Ducks need the most focus on if they're going to win this game. And are you more interested in the offense versus defense of one team or the offense versus defense of another team? Tyson Alger joins us. One more segment here. We'll take a break. 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. My
mother's always stressing. Now we are joined by Tyson Alger, the I-5 Corridor, Lookout Eugene Springfield, as we always are on Wednesdays, and we appreciate you hanging around for a double seggy, Tyson. We always do. Real quick, coming into the USC game, I know Dan holds it to the vest real close. Do we have any idea about Gary Bryant Jr. or DeCorian Moore?
I think we will find out on Saturday.
That's just how this is going to go. Look, Belichick ruined it for all of us, didn't he? Is that where we point this all back to?
Well, I why would I talk about an injury? We got a game to that's a really bad Belichick impression brought to you by Tyson Alger of I-5 Corridor and Lookout Eugene Springfield. Subscribe today, ladies and gentlemen.
Tyson, let's dive into this game. We've been talking a little bit about, you know, you've got a high octane USC offense, ranks, you know, top five in the nation. You've got a high octane Oregon's defense, top five in the nation. Is that the battle that you sit with in this? How does this top offense deal with the defense? Or do you live in my world that kind of flips that on its head and says, what does Oregon's offense do against USC's defense?
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at a little bit with it too, because I think Oregon's weakness is better than USC's weakness. I just mm-hmm. think Oregon's offense is, when you look at it, I mean, it's fun to throw out how good USC is with their attack and how explosive they are, but Oregon's still number 11 in the country in total offense right now. Like, they've been pretty good a lot of the year. It's just that we really focus in on the games that they're not, and also take into account that they played the last month under monsoon-like conditions. USC is going to move the ball against the Ducks. Oregon has one of the best passing defenses in the country, but they just haven't seen receivers like USC has. They have one of the best, absolute best guys in the country, and the number two and number three guys are pretty darn good as well. So I think USC is going to move the ball. I think it's about limiting the amount of those explosive plays you get. But I think the biggest positive for me going into this game is just seeing how balanced that the Ducks looked on offense last week against Minnesota. And I know Minnesota's not this big, bad juggernaut of a Big Ten team, but they're not a terrible defensive team. And just Dante Moore's efficiency in that game, kind of bouncing back from, you know, a bad 2 or 3 weeks, but to see him in decent conditions when he got good protection, when it's dry out, to have him be that effective with that depleted receiving core balanced with that rushing attack, I just don't think USC is going to be able to stop Oregon's offense as much as Oregon's going to be able to stop USC's. It's just USC's better defensively than they've been for probably the past 5, 6, 7 years, but they still give up a ton of yards on the ground, and they still give up a lot of key yards on the ground. So I just think that's another area that Oregon's going to be able to gash them.
All right, Tyson, I ask you every week. This one I obviously have a little bit more vested interest. How does Oregon lose this game?
Oregon loses this game if they get behind quickly. If Dante Moore comes out, you know, it was so nice last week to see them come out on that first drive and be effective right away, but that's kind of been the outlier compared to what the last month or so has been. If Oregon gets behind and maybe there's a turnover and USC is able to strike quickly, they do have a good enough running game too that they can be balanced in the way that they hold a lead. So USC is dangerous. Like this is going to be a tough game. They are a top 25 team, and I think they're warranted to be. And there's a lot emotionally riding on this line too. You know, USC thought that they were going to be the front runners in this new Big Ten of the Pac-12 defectors. You know, they were the first ones to announce that they were going to leave. They had Lincoln Riley. They had, you know, what they thought was a recruiting advantage. And Oregon's kind of stolen all of that and all that momentum. And here you have this game where playoff is on the line for basically both teams. It's going to be a fun one. And there's a lot of stress with that. And Dante, while we've seen him play well in some big games, like the Penn State, that was a lot of pressure on him. I thought there was a lot of pressure on him against Iowa too. Like this one's for all the marbles here a week before you go do that again up in Seattle.
I'll ask you this. He's Tyson Alger. He joins us, the I-5 corridor. Look out, Eugene Springfield. The department you are going to focus on most for Oregon, when you look at guys like Mekhi Lemon, who might be the best wide receiver in college football right now, are you focused on what the secondary is going to look like, or are we still living in offensive line world to get that run game going? What, tell me the department you are focused on most as a giant key to a Duck victory.
I think I want to see a breakout game for Mateo Uiagalelei. You know, he's been fine this year. I think it's been an adjustment for him this season with guys with being the guy and then kind of being focused on differently, but you just haven't seen him have one of those game record type of games that we saw him have a couple of times last year, and that made him such a heralded kind of preseason selection. USC's got such a potent attack that if you're not pressuring the quarterback or creating havoc, they're going to put points on you. So I think that's important. The secondary stuff, we know how important that is. And I'm so excited to watch what Brandon Finney does in this game matched up against some of those dudes. But I do think a key thing for Oregon is the linebackers in this game. As I said earlier, like USC's got a pretty potent rushing attack there. That freshman running backs rushed for 125 yards plus in three of the last five games. Like they can move the ball on the ground. And if you can make them more one dimensional and only rely on that passing attack, I think that's a key for Oregon to get ahead in this game.
He's Tyson Alger, the I-5 corridor. Look out, Eugene Springfield. Tyson, this is your chance. We always give you what you're writing this week. How you feeling on stuff?
I'm writing a little look back that's going to publish on Friday that kind of dives into the Oregon-USC Mario Cristobal era rivalry, where the Ducks had their whole Cali Flock hashtag and they went to the Rose Bowl and Mario Cristobal called it a home game for them, and just kind of see how that's evolved over the years. Because as I don't know if you guys saw Dan's press conference this week, you know, they kind of talked about the importance of California and like, yeah, it's important, but everything's important. And, you know, I don't think the guys take it any more seriously than the others. That's kind of the exact opposite of way that the Ducks handled it 5-6 years ago. And I just kind of find that fascinating.
All right. You can check that out. The I-5 corridor. Look out, Eugene Springfield. He's Tyson Alger. Thanks, amigo. We'll see you next week. Enjoy the game.
Hey, thanks.
Tyson Alger.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original. Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.